I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
As a performer, I can't imagine anything worse. I cannot imagine anything worse than standing in front of a stadium-sized group of people and hearing boos, no matter what I was doing. Well, Call Her Daddy host Alex Cooper had some event in Chicago. Actually, one of my friends was up there, and I guess she got invited to sing the national anthem at Wrigley Field for a Cubs game.
It was the seventh inning stretch.
The seventh inning stretch.
Take
me out to the ball game.
I was like, phew, she did what?
Yeah. She did like some, like, she did take me out to the ball game with a group of friends who were on the field, and a couple of seconds into it, she starts getting booed, and the boos last probably about a minute. Here's a clip from the performance.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care. Never come back. So let's root for the Cubbies. If they
You're out. You're out, Alex Cooper. Ooh, that is brutal.
Yes, she deserved to get booed. That was miserable.
So she made a couple of mistakes here. A, signing up for it. But B, uh-huh. B, I think in the beginning what she was trying to do is parody Harry Carey, who is a Chicago institution. Yeah. He's the one that used to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He's passed away, but he is a legend in Chicago. So in the very beginning where you hear that deep voice of hers, I think she's trying to mimic him. And you don't do that in Chicago.
You don't.
No, you don't.
Absolute no.
Why not?
He's an icon.
Yeah, the only person who can do that is Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live. His Harry Carey impersonation was hilarious. He is the only person allowed to do that because, yeah, he is, like Bert said, he's iconic in Chicago. So when she started it, I'm like, is she trying to do a Harry Carey impersonation?
And the way she's giggling through it. I mean, this is what's the word I'm looking for? It's a, it's a tradition in Chicago. Mm. So when you don't take it seriously at all and you're laughing your way through it, and I think she even says before, you guys have never heard anything like this before, because she knew she was going to kind of jack it up. Mm. It seemed very calculated, and I think it's Jake Paul that said it best lately, is that it's not about being popular. It's not about being liked anymore. It's just about being noticed. Mm. So now you're going into these things knowing you're going to get a reaction. Mm. So radio stations and social media are going to talk about you. And I think that's what she went for.
I feel like it's different for women, though. Like, I feel like men are allowed to be unlikable, and I don't feel like women are allowed to be. So I don't know. I mean, if for
well, she's
this...
doing a pretty good job at it.
Crushing it.
She's knocking it out of the park. Hit a home run, if you will. I don't know anything about the take me out to the ball game tradition when it comes to Chicago. So are you not supposed to be like lighthearted? Are you supposed to like belt it out like Adele?
Well, no, you're not supposed to belt it out like Adele. There's a difference here. And I think if a dude had done the same thing and like laughed his way through it, because it's like you're like making a mockery of it. Mm. And it just came, like just having heard it, having not, like that was my first time hearing it. It seemed disrespectful. Like you can have fun with it. You can be lighthearted with it. You don't have to sing like Adele. Like you can get out there. But one, you should get the words right.
Try.
Yeah. That's important.
Yeah, you should get the words right, and you probably shouldn't laugh your way through it. Because she tried to do, I think she was attempting to be funny, and then when it fell flat, that she just kind of like joked her way through it, and then it just ended up being disrespectful to the tradition.
There have been people who have done it before where they didn't sound the best, but they were trying. Yeah. And they were honoring the tradition and taking it seriously, and they didn't get booed.
So now she gets all the hits, and now people will be curious about why she did what she did, so they'll listen to the podcast.
Well, I feel like this is a mistake only rich people are allowed to make, because she just signed like a $100 million deal with Sirius, so you're allowed to be a little unlikable when you have that much money in your bank account.
No, I never in my life thought I'd hear you say Jake Paul said it best. That was that was a huge surprise for me.
When it comes to popularity.
Why did it feel like you were quoting Gandhi in that moment? It's like, you know, the great philosopher Jake Paul once said.
Through me, man.
Well, speaking of women who have a lot of money in their bank account, Scarlett Johansson has just surpassed Samuel L. Jackson as the highest grossing lead actor. And this has everything to do with the very successful opening of Jurassic World Rebirth. Apparently, all of the movies that she has been a part of have cumulatively made $14.8 billion, which is now surpassing Samuel L. Jackson, who held that record with $14.6 billion, and Robert Downey Jr. in third place with $14.3 billion. So the ladies are killing it out here.
It's the Burt Show.
Let's catch up with Sarah here, who we gave a homework assignment, two homework assignments yesterday.
So Sarah's twin sister didn't want to go out with a guy her coworker had set her up with. So she asked Sarah to pretend to be her. She was like, just go out with the guy once, like, that's it. So Sarah thought it'd be fun to see if she could pull it off. And she did, just a little bit too well. So well, in fact, that she caught feelings and was thinking about a second date. We told Sarah she had to talk to her twin sister about it. So did she? And did she talk to the guy? Did she confess? Sarah is here with an update.
I think we said you got to go to your sister first
and
get the blessing. And then you can go to homework assignment number two. Mm-hmm. But if homework assignment number one goes sideways, then there is no number two.
Right? I know that number one's going to go wrong for sure.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
Hi. All right. So did you talk to your sister first?
I did. I talked to my twin first. And she was annoyed. But, you know, the whole reason she had me go out with the guy was, you know, because she wanted to save face in front of her coworker. And then she said she preferred I didn't. But if I wanted to, like, pursue him and, you know, date him, like, she'd be okay with that. She said I could do what I want. Yeah.
All right. I would have said thank you and move on. No. Don't sell past the yes, Kristen. I know what you're going to say.
I'd prefer you didn't.
That's all you need to hear.
Do what you want.
I'm with you, Bert. That first part is all that matters.
Don't sell past the yes. Don't ask questions. Don't come back and go, well, what exactly do you mean by that? You got your answer.
That's the answer.
You got your yes. Now run. All right. So you get a very definitive yes from your twin sister. And then you go to this dude who says what and how do you approach him?
So I FaceTimed him.
That's bold. Mm-hmm. I like the move.
Yeah, and I told him, like, the truth. I said I have a twin. We did the little, like, whole switcheroo thing. And I said, you know, I didn't, like, my sister didn't want to disappoint her coworker, make things awkward. And so I went on the date, and he was shocked, and I was so nervous, and then he started laughing. And he was like, I had a feeling something was off, you know, but like, I really like you. So I just, like, you know, went with it.
Yeah. You guys got to get in the head of a dude here. This makes perfect sense to me. Again, if a guy is attracted to you, he thinks you're hot, you guys had a great chemistry here, this is easily something that can be laughed off. No problem. I'll see you again. If he's not attracted to you, you got problems.
He's not overlooking it.
Then you're totally offended. Now, the only thing he could be offended by was, like, your sister was just throwing him a bone and didn't really want to go out. But that's not your problem.
That's the part I would have focused on.
But you remember we said new truth. You didn't tell him that your sister looked him up on Insta and thought he was butt. And that's why she didn't go out with him. Like, you didn't tell him all that. Like, you didn't need to disclose all that.
No, of course not.
Okay.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Okay. So you tell him this, he laughs it off like, when do you want to see me again?
Yeah, we're going to see each other this weekend. and no lies, no pretending. And he, like, promised that he wasn't, like, going to say anything to the coworker, so it won't be weird for my sister.
Okay.
But yeah, we're going out this weekend.
That's great.
This is huge. He gets to use your real name this time.
Yep. How?
This is wild. Wow.
And now we're going to look way in the future when you guys are married and stuff, and people say, how did you guys meet? You guys got an epic story.
It is an epic twin story.
What would be great is if he's standing there at the end of the aisle and she walks down the aisle, and right before they say I do, she's like, just kidding, it's the twin.
It's the other twin. All right, Sarah, thanks for the update. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, see you now.
Here, Burt Show.
Cassie, I'm tired for you, man. I mean, mathematically, this isn't possible. Life comes in balances, right? You got good that goes along with bad. So you have 3 weeks of bad and then you get 3 weeks of good. This too shall pass, right? For Cassie, it is not passing.
No, it's been years. Like in the last 3 years, I've lost my grandmother, both my dogs. Five trees fell on the house. One fell through the roof. So we've been displaced from our house for over a year now. Insurance isn't paying. So we're living in an RV in our driveway. My mother just passed a couple weeks ago from a long fight with breast cancer. And
you're not even including like all of the injuries that Chad has gone through, gone through. It's just been one stressful mess for years.
It's happened. But recently, last week, we were on vacation and we went to the Northeast and it was lovely. Like it was, you know, a couple weird things happened. But honestly, I would put that in line with normal weird things that happen to anybody, can happen at any time. And it's been truly, it was nice and it was lovely. And we were driving home on Sunday because we drove to Maine because we're a family of four and plane tickets in this economy, not happening. Right. So we took a road trip and we're driving back. And on Sunday, we officially entered the South, right? We spent Saturday driving through the Northeast. Now we're in the South. So keep that in mind. We're entering the South. We pull over to charge. We're in an electric vehicle, so we have to charge pretty frequently. And as soon as I get out the car, downpour. Absolute downpour. I'm soaked. It's like in a shower. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's the weather. I can dry off. So then we keep driving and we enter North Carolina. And I hear the Amber Alert sound on my phone. You know, that is so loud. You can't unhear it. I always check those. I know they're annoying, but I know if that were my kid, mm-hmm. I would want another mom to check, and we're driving on the road, so like, check it immediately. Was not an Amber Alert. Was, there's an active tornado in the area. Take shelter now.
As soon as you get into North Carolina.
Yeah, you must take shelter absolutely immediately. We're looking around. We're in rural North Carolina. I'm like, well, there's a bar, but it's like in a trailer. Like there's nowhere that's safe. And you know, you can't go under underpasses and tornadoes. I don't know if y'all know that. It's actually worse if you go under an underpass. So I've got my head on a swivel looking for this tornado while trying to pull up Weather Channel, like, radar maps, which, by the way, can y'all just put when there's a tornado where it is? Like, the amount of time I had to spend trying to Google where this dang tornado had been spotted. But all I see on the map is we're in the red danger zone that's been outlined. My daughter in the back seat, poor thing, is like, are we going to get blown away? And I'm like, no, baby, you're safe. Well, I'm turning to Chad. I'm like, where's this damn tornado? Like, we have to get out of here. So we're like booking it, trying to get out, trying to look for this tornado or trying to look for somewhere to go shelter in place. And finally, we see some houses made of brick. And I'm like, all right, worst comes to worst, I'm going to go pound on these doors and be like, please let us in. All of a sudden, we see all these police cars up ahead and they've closed the road to the interstate because we figured, okay, we get on the interstate. The way we're going is going to take us directly away from the tornado. Let's just do that. So we're like, screw it. Pull around, turn around, U-turn. We're going to go a different way. Waze redirects us and we're like, good, we're getting out of here. Again, backed up. The road's flooded, flash flooding. We can't get through. And this happened twice. Two different roads are impassable and the other one was blocked off by cops. I'm like, okay, finally, we get out of there. Of course, right as the tornado watch or whatever it is ended, like the tornado's gone. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's good luck. We've made it through. Never mind that we drove through an active tornado zone to get out of here. So we keep driving. And then all of a sudden, my son goes, I don't feel good. And we're like, what's wrong? And he's like, I'm going to throw up. And we're like, what? And so we rush into a gas station. We find one. He vomits all over himself, all over my husband, and all over the gas station bathroom floor. All right, no problem. We do a quick change. And I feel like I need to also set the stage. Like, when you have kids, they don't always tell you when they have to go potty. They'll lie. And so at our actual charging stops, because we have an electric vehicle, we have to charge every few hours. It adds a couple hours to any journey. And that's something we signed up for. That's fine. But then kids who lie about having to go potty.
You didn't sign up for that.
No, because you try and make them go and then they start screaming in the middle of a gas station. And I'm like, people are going to think I'm kidnapping. So I'm just kind of like, okay, well, you don't have to go. I believe you. And then 30 minutes later, they have to go. So,
and again, we're establishing everything was great once you were in the Northeast.
Perfect.
But as soon as you get to the South, now you've got this series of mishaps.
Perfect. So I'm just doing this to show you that our trip is getting longer and longer, delayed and delayed. So at this point, we're driving through the night And my son wakes up from sleeping. He's feeling better. We gave him a little bit of bread and water. And he's like, I don't feel good. We're like, are you going to throw up? He's like, yes. And I'm like, pull over, pull over. It's like midnight. We find a 24-hour Whataburger and pull into the parking lot. And he vomits all over himself in the car seat.
Oh my God.
We don't have napkins. We just have those flimsy, like, restroom, like, paper towels. Uh-huh. We're trying to clean it off. We're running in and out of this Whataburger. And I know the employees are like, what is going on? I'm like trying to strip him down. Like, I don't want to carry him into a restaurant. So we're literally like, there's like a big access road or whatever. And I'm stripping him down to his underwear to change him on this like swath of grass outside of a Whataburger at 12 p.m. in like South Carolina. He feels better. So we get it all taken care of. We're like, okay, let's hit the road again. So we keep going. And because the trip is so delayed, we pull into our driveway about 3 a.m.
Oh, geez.
And I've got to be here at like 6 a.m., right, is when the show starts. No big. It happens. I'll subside on a couple hours of sleep. Done it before. So we notice when we pull into our driveway, like we're walking to the RV, it's very dark. The ground's wet. And we're like, okay, well, I've heard it's been raining like crazy in Atlanta, like every night torrential rain. Whatever, it's probably left over. I feel it again the next morning, and it's kind of slippery, which is weird, but I'm like, it must have washed some mud from the yard onto the driveway. Chad gets up in the morning, and there's all this water under our RV and flooding our driveway, and like a river, not a river, but like a little stream running through the grass, and like it's moving water is what I'm trying to get at. It's not stagnant. And it's been there so long that algae blooms have formed on the driveway in the water, which is what I was slipping on.
Mm. And how long have you guys been gone?
A month. But so the last time the house...
So is this like when you're in like a river and you're over rocks and you're slipping? Yes. Because, okay.
Yes, exactly like that. And we haven't been in the house. The last time we were in there was when a contractor from the insurance company was in there just looking at everything. So when we left the house, everything was great. I mean, it was still under construction, but you know what I mean? As great as it could be. Chad goes inside and we can't figure out where it is, but somehow a leak has sprung and the house is flooded. Our ceilings are caving in. And at this point, he and his dad, who builds like these billionaire houses up in upstate New York, so he knows, they think the house is a total loss. So we've lost the house now after being out of it for over a year because of the trees falling through it. Now it's just flooded. There is mold everywhere because of the flooding. We think that the working theory is because the roof, even though everything was like professionally sealed up, that the storms were maybe so bad, like something got in there or a pipe burst or a water main burst. We're trying to figure it out because the front yard is flooding too, but we're on a hill. Mm-hmm. So that's very weird that the front yard would be flooded as well. So there's that much water and we have no idea how long.
There's nothing weird in your world. It makes perfect sense.
Well, it's
flood,
weird.
Flood up.
But it's weird to come back to your house and it's flooded. And right. So it's everything is gone. We can't take anything else out of there. The ceilings are caved in. We can't go in. There's standing water. And so
what
that
are you guys
has been like 24 hours. I don't know, because we were really on track to be at least back in the house by my birthday. Like we had just started ripping down walls and moving forward. And now...
And it's not like the insurance companies really had your back in this whole thing, which is another...
They haven't, and we've had to fight it. And so now we don't know. We contacted the lawyer. They're checking it out. But at this point, we're like, can you write off a house as a loss? Does that happen? So we're waiting next steps from the lawyer. But
if you were the stock market, I would invest in you. Because you're at the low right now, and at some point or another...
She's so cheap.
You're so cheap.
Guess what?
That at some point or another, this is going to turn around.
Chad and I were like, you know what? It is what it is. Maybe this is bad stuff being cleared out of the way for a good next chapter. I go to bed thinking of that. I lie down in my bed, go to sleep, turn the lights off, I relax, and I hear, rabbit. And I'm like, no. Rabbit! Rabbit! Like right in my ear. Frogs have made a home under the trailer because they think it's a pond. And the walls are so thin, I can hear them as if they're next to me. I made Chad search the whole room for frogs. And it was just like the final, like, we're living in a simulation. Congratulations, developers. You got me. Good job.
It's got to turn at some point.
The Burt Show.
AI and ChatGPT is so advanced now. I don't know if you guys are caught in the same algorithm I am, where you're looking at videos and they test to see if you can tell if it's AI or if it's real. And I flunk 80% of the time, man. 80% of the time. The good news here, though, is that ChatGPT and AI don't necessarily know you better than people in your life, which we proved last hour. Abby has put together an experiment, which at least my girlfriend is passing with flying colors.
Which is very relieving considering how popular AI and ChatGPT is getting. People are literally proposing to their ChatGPT girlfriends because they feel so emotionally connected to them. So we've been playing this game called Does Your Significant Other or ChatGPT Know You Better? So far, Bird and Mo have come out unscathed. They're women in their lives, know them better. But now we're coming to Kristen. And I have asked Bart a series of 10 questions, and he has to answer on behalf of Kristen. So he has to answer what he thinks her favorites are or what she would choose for certain questions.
Now, I'm just going to go ahead and bet here. And I love your man. I do love your man with all my heart and every Bartism there is, right?
But
I don't know that his strong point is listening and absorbing.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Okay, because the only thing that I know about him listening is he has his AirPods in all the time.
That he does. They're in constantly.
Yes. He's so meticulous about everything else, though. So why wouldn't he be about what you're all about?
I got faith in my dude.
Yeah.
I got faith. We've got almost 20 years under the belt.
We're going to find out.
So I've asked Bart these questions, and he has to answer on behalf of Kristen. We've asked Kristen's ChatGPT these questions on behalf of Kristen, and Kristen has given me the answer that she would give for these specific questions. So we're going to go through them 1 through 10.
Why am I nervous?
You should be. No, I'm just kidding. All right, the first question is, what is your significant other's favorite ice cream flavor? Bart answered, butter pecan. ChatGPT said, salted caramel, a little sweet, a little sassy, and totally addicting. Huh. Kristen said, butter pecan.
Boom, yeah. Hands down.
Point for Bart.
He better know that. Because I'm sure there are times where you're like, Bart! Can you run to the store and get me some butter pecan?
What's funny is we never buy it for the house.
Really?
Only when we go to like ice cream stores. Like if I'm at the Frosty Caboose, butter pecan. if I go anywhere, butter pecan's the flavor I get, but we don't have it for the house.
That sounds like an STD.
What?
The frozen caboose.
The Frosty.
Frosty. even worse.
I was going to say, it sounds like an adult film star name.
That is a rough STD.
Doc, man. I got a Frosty Caboose. Can you come on in?
All right, the second question is...
It also sounds like a sexless marriage.
Oh, the Frosty Caboose. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a little frigid in there.
The second question is, what is Kristen's biggest fear? Bart said death. ChatGPT said letting people down or stepping on a Lego in the middle of the night. It's a toss-up. And Kristen said... death.
Yeah, it's even like there's no elaboration. Like I love how Amanda was like very like verbose and even
explains her answers. Yeah.
Mo's lady and Bart's just like death.
Next question.
But what's funny is I also just wrote death.
No explanation needed.
All right, Bart's up 2-0.
The third question is, who is Kristen's celebrity crush? Bart said Henry Cavill. ChatGPT said Ryan Gosling, because of course it's Ryan Gosling.
Of course.
Kristen said Henry Cavill.
Boom!
Point for Bart.
Three for three.
The next question, what annoys your significant other the most about you? Bart did elaborate on this one. This was his longest answer of all 10. Wait,
so is he saying what annoys him about me? Because I said what annoys me about him.
What annoys your significant other? So what annoys Kristen the most about Bart?
Perfect.
Okay. So Bart said snoring or the sounds I make when I'm eating or how I breathe or pretty much anything that I have to do to live. Should I take a hint? ChatGPT says when he pretends he can't hear the baby crying in the middle of the night. You're not asleep, bro. You're hiding, Kristen said. Poor time management.
Yeah. No. Neither one got it right. But granted, Bart is not wrong.
Him breathing annoys you.
Yeah.
All right. What is Kristen's number one vacation bucket list spot? Bart said Greece. ChatGPT said Bora Bora. Overwater bungalows. Book in hand. No schedule. No pants.
It is like a cheap game show host sometimes.
Total bliss. Kristen said...
Reese.
Give it to Bart.
Point for Bart. He's got 4. ChatGPT has nothing.
What's the one topic that will get Kristen talking for way too long? Bart said, whatever her most recent murder podcast is about. ChatGPT said, the psychology of relationships. Why do people do what they do? How do childhood wounds show up in adulthood? Attachment styles, all of it.
It's so specific.
Kristen said, true crime docs.
Woo!
I'll give it a point for Bart.
ChatGPT is getting shut out at this point.
Bart's got 5. ChatGPT, nothing.
Crushing.
What's the one meal Kristen could eat for a week and not get sick of it? Bart got very explicit with this. He said, chicken enchiladas rancheras with the green sauce, a side of rice, and chips, salsa, and cheese dip from Taxco.
Yep.
Damn, wow. That sounds good.
ChatGPT said, pasta, any kind. Bonus. No, sorry. Bonus if it's cheesy, spicy, or smothered in garlic butter. Kristen said, Mexican.
Yep.
Enchiladas rancheras.
Yeah.
Point for Bar.
Yeah.
The next one. What is Kristen's most used emoji when texting Bart? Bart said, heart. ChatGPT said, the squinty, laughing, crying emoji that's tilted at a 45-degree angle to the left. Mm-hmm. Because Kristen keeps it light, and laughter is basically your love language. Kristen said, a GIF gal rather than an emoji chick. So
yeah, I send my man GIFs all the time. Like that's my love language, and I don't really do a lot of emojis, but man, I will send a GIF all day every day.
If I see an image coming in and I'm getting all like very, the expectations are high, and I see one of those, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a letdown.
Oh, come on.
All right, what is Kristen's go-to coffee order? Bart said, cappuccino. ChatGPT said, iced oat milk latte with a splash of vanilla, because you're trying to be healthy-ish, but you're not giving up flavor. Kristen said, cappuccino.
Give it to Bart.
Whole milk.
ChatGPT, shut out right now. My man's got 7. Yeah.
The last question, what reality show would Kristen absolutely kill it on? Bart said, The Challenge, All Stars.
Mm.
ChatGPT said,
All Stars?
So you've been on it twice.
No, All Stars because I can't hang with the youngins. I have to go with like,
that's the
I have to
group.
Be on there with Anissa.
They don't want to call.
And me both.
They don't want to call it the senior circuit.
Nah, the old stuff.
The ones that are going through perimenopause. I can hang with them, but not the 20-somethings.
ChatGPT said, The Amazing Race. You're strategic, quick on your feet, charming with strangers, maybe. And you don't melt down under pressure.
Yes, I do.
Unless it's a puzzle with more than 12 pieces. Kristen said, literally not one. I care too much about what people think.
So there's not a whole bunch of info on you online because ChatGPT got shut out.
Yeah, chat did not get a single one, but my man got 7. And I actually would have given him the Challenge All Stars would be my favorite. I don't know if I would do well on it, but it would be my favorite one to go on. So I'll give him a bonus point for that.
Okay.
We should try this again in another year because the way that ChatGPT is advancing right now, it may know you better than you know yourself in a year. It's a Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
We have the world's busiest airport here in Atlanta. I need somebody to confirm this for me.
Well, I think we're lucky enough to have an airport ambassador in the studio.
Oh, that is right. Yeah. Sure enough.
An official airport ambassador Atlanta.
So you tell me if this is true or not. For all airports across the country, after two decades...
Yep.
TSA quietly ends shoe removal requirement, effective immediately.
Yeah, everything that I've seen online has said that people heard about that and they went and it hasn't taken effect yet.
Yeah, so whatever I have, as of July 7th, which was yesterday, travelers can keep their shoes on at TSA checkpoints. Now, granted, if you have like pre-check, that was a non-issue, but if you're like in, you know, the normie line, an internal memo confirms the agency has quietly ended the 20-year-old rule, according to multiple travel industry sources.
Yeah, it's not something that you'd yell from the mountaintops. Just want to let you know, we're going back to, what's that dude's name? Richard Reed, the guy that first, do you remember that?
No.
He's the guy that
had the shoe bomb?
Had the shoe bomb, and was the guy that started this whole thing. It was like 20 years ago.
Yes, but for 2 decades now, yeah. We've been taking our shoes off.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm cool taking my shoes off. I feel more safe.
Yeah, please take them. I'll let the dogs out.
Yeah, man.
I hate it. I hate taking my shoes off at that thing, man. I feel so self-conscious. I only got another inch of sole, which makes me a little bit taller. Now I got to go all the way down there.
It makes me want to ask for a refund for my TSA pre-check, because now what are the benefits? What are the pros? Because I was paying $50 a year or whatever so I could keep my toes where they belong.
Well, you don't have to take out your computer and all the electronics and stuff.
Sometimes
like that.
They still make you do that, depending on the airport.
Just must be you, man.
The rules always change.
Yeah. All right, Rebecca, what are we focusing on here? Reality TV, and which one would we be on?
A new bombshell has entered the studio. It's time to see what Love Islander the Burt Show is. Shocker, it's Love Island. Everyone's surprised. We're still talking about it.
No, I'm glad we are talking about it because we are supposed to tie in to what people are watching. This one, however, the elders on the show refuse wisely. All right, so you guys are bringing it to us.
I did get a DM asking me if I was okay based on how much I talked about Love Island, and I just want to say, I have other interests, I swear. I like laboo-boos.
Clearly, because I was trying to text Rebecca during the show last night. I was like spilling her like all the tea and the gossip. I was like, what do you think about this? And she's like, I'm not watching it. I'm like, what?
I'm delayed a day. It was the baby challenge. That's when it gets boring. The baby challenge is when you know you got like 5 days left and it's fine.
I just feel if you're like between 20 and 30 years old, this is the only show you are talking about right now.
100%.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Reality TV is not fun. It's a job, and it's something that I take very seriously. It is a personal anthropological experiment, and it's something that geniuses watch because even brilliant people need to unwind. So I have designed a Love Island Choose Your Own Adventure quiz that will assign each of you the personality of a contestant on season 7 of Love Island US.
Because, I mean, Love Island didn't start this. I actually think this is more of like the Bachelor franchise started this, is you do have, they have roles they cast for the show, because you have to have the drunk, you have to have the troublemaker, you have to have the overly emotional crier. Like, they have all these roles that they need to fill in order to come up with quality reality TV.
I think the blueprint was founded by Real World, because there was this same characters over and over again with they just look different.
Archetypes are so important on reality TV, though. On Love Island this season, it's all just baddies with borderline personality disorder. Okay, I have sent you guys the quiz. There are 5 questions, and if you're listening, you can play along right now at theburtshow.com/loveisland. Consider pulling over. So for each question, I will read the prompt and the answers and then have one of you provide what you choose to do. But I want all of you to play along so we can get your results at the end.
Okay.
You can self-produce, you can be a reality TV villain, or you can stay genuine.
Hold on 1 second. It's making sure I'm a human.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Wow. Is the tire in here, or is that not tire?
Not CAPTCHA. You like AI so much, it thinks you're a robot.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, question one. America has voted and has placed 3 of your fellow islanders in the bottom. It's up to you to decide who to send home. Do you choose your 6'3 frenemy with a face card that does not decline, the baddie threatening to turn your partner's head, your bro who seems to only be here for the water slide, the simple young woman who is getting on well in a new couple, or instead of choosing, you continuously scream, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, though.
Shout out Amaya Papaya. Bert, what are you choosing?
I choose the partner that's making my partner's head like turn. I want the threat off of the island. Mm.
The baddie.
The baddie. Yeah, bye.
All right. Question 2. Your fellow islander just let you know she has a daughter. How do you respond to the news? Mommy? Mamacita? Mom of what? A dog? Like in real life? Kristen, what are you choosing?
I'm feeling some flavor, so I'm going Mamacita.
Oh, Mamacita. Question 3. A short king has entered the villa.
Amen. Hi, Bert.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to lie about your height because the baddies are all over you, and yet you do. In a heated moment, you claim you're 5'10".
There is nobody that's 5'10".
How tall are you really? Cassie, are you 5 feet flat? 5'9"? 5'6" on a good day, 5'3" or everyone's the same height lying down.
Everyone's the same height lying down.
Yes. Okay, Mo, it's time for the heart rate challenge.
Are these real challenges on the show?
Yes. The heart rate challenge is a very important moment in Love Island season, like, history.
It's basically all the islanders do a striptease for each other, and exactly, they try to get their hearts up.
And they wear heart rate monitors.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, it's up to you to show off your best, most scandalous moves in the cheesiest lingerie producers can overnight to Fiji to get everyone in the villa's hearts pumping. What do you do? I give it my all. I don't care if other people get upset when I dance on their partner. I make a joke out of it, but I come off a little insecure. I focus on dancing a little too well, and it's cringe. I'm cute with it. I might not win, but America falls in love with me. Or I take it way too seriously and show off my midnight ballerina moves. Chaos ensues.
I'm definitely getting cute with it. I might not win, but America falls in love with me.
Getting cute with it. Okay, final question. Uh-oh, it's almost the end of the show, and you just closed it off with your long-term partner who was unceremoniously kicked off the island for using a racial slur.
That really has just happened.
Yes. What's your next move? I stay on the island and couple up with her best friend.
Mm.
I leave with her. Love conquers all, even racism.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
What? I don't notice. I was only there for the water slide anyway. I crash the F out. How am I going to get brand deals now that my partner was outed as problematic? Or I am the islander leaving because I captioned a photo of myself getting Botox with a slur.
Okay, no one choose that one. that's a bad option.
I think that's good advice. There's a couple there that are both bad advice.
I'm certainly crashing the F out, but I know that the only way I can get these brand deals if I stay on the island longer. So in order to do that, I'm going to do the most diabolical thing you can do in this moment. And I'm going to couple up with her best friend.
Mm, interesting. All right, everyone. Yep. What are your results, Bert?
I'm the guy with the herpes.
Nick.
Nick. The curly comedy cutie.
Yeah, you just said it so point blank.
He did, right? Yeah, such a so fun.
And guess what? I have herpes too.
Who else has herpes?
Anybody else a Nick?
I no.
Who did you get?
Amaya Papaya.
You got Amaya Papaya.
So did I.
I was perfect. I never said I didn't have any flaws.
That's me.
What are they known for on the show?
Amaya Papaya is basically the human equivalent of like a helium filled balloon. Like, there's nothing going on in
She's
there.
She's like, damn, if a pug came to life.
Sorry, a pug came to life. Yes,
they got rather have herpes.
Save that. But she's so fun to watch.
She's so fun.
I can't believe who I got.
Who? Sierra.
I got Sierra. I'm canceled. You're conceded.
Wait, why'd she get canceled?
She got canceled for using a racial slur twice.
No. You are a Karen, so.
Well, congratulations, everyone. They're not going to renew for a new season.
Congratulations to everyone except Abby.
Yeah.
Right. I don't like this.
Well, if nothing else, we got all of us saying that either we want herpes or don't want herpes.
The Bert Show.
I am proud to say that I leveled up and a friendship over the weekend.
Okay.
So you can level up in relationships, and I also think you can level up in friendships. Sure. Where you just, like, something happens, you share a moment that just takes it to the next level.
Mm.
And I'm proud to say that happened to me this past weekend. So there we were in the kitchen of the lake house we were renting.
Okay.
Bert and Bart were outside with the boys. My 4-year-old Jimmy, his girlfriend Amanda's 4-year-old Asa, and they're having the best time. You can hear the laughter just wafting through the air, coming into the house. And Amanda and I are in the kitchen doing what women folk do, putting casseroles together, making carrot dip and whatnot. And, you know, it was midday. The sun was starting to set and the lake was getting that nice, that golden hour on it.
Mm.
Just a beautiful time of day. And so, you know, we had been swimming in the pool and there we are in our...
I have no idea where you're going. No idea where you're going with it.
I have an inkling.
There we are in the kitchen
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
There we are in the kitchen in our bathing suits and our cover-ups and just, you know, working. And then we got some tunes playing on the TV and some classic rock is also wafting through the house. It was just like a perfect moment. And we're just chilling. We're just vibing. We're just enjoying life.
Women being women.
Women being women. And she's standing at the kitchen island, and I'm walking over to the trash can to throw something away. And I got my towel wrapped around me, and I bend over ever so slightly to put my foot on the pedal of the trash can so the lid pops open so I can throw away my plate that I had in my hand. And as I'm throwing away the plate, all of this happened really fast, by the way, but it's going to be a core memory for me because, again, our friendship leveled up because of this. I'm staring into Amanda's eyes, and I'm throwing my plate away. And as I bend over ever so slightly to throw my plate away, as I'm staring into her eyes, this happens.
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a feeling, right? It's right on brand.
That one's a little juicier than the one I released, but it was uncontrollable.
So it was accidental.
Oh, it was completely accidental. It was not intentional. I did not push one out. All right. That did not occur. But it was such a raw moment because I'm literally staring to her eyes as a fart ekes from my buttocks. And I'm looking
at it. If it sounded like that, that is not an eek.
No, that's a little on the juicy side.
That's check your drawers material.
Yeah. And we just, for a beat, we just kind of stare at each other. And my God, when I say we fell out, I have not laughed that hard. I was on the floor. I was laughing so hard. And I was like, I was literally staring into the depths of your soul as I ripped one. And I feel like there's no going back from this. Like that moment you have with somebody, it's one thing to have the first fart in front of somebody.
Yeah.
And like if you're dating somebody and you feel free and you let that one release. And so for her and I to share that intimate moment together, and not just for it to happen, but for me to be making eye contact with her, I don't recommend it, man. I don't recommend making eye contact with somebody when you rip ass.
It's so
awkward.
It's not the beaches moment I was expecting.
No.
But there it is.
But so yeah, I farted in front of your girlfriend.
Okay.
And we're on a different level now, man.
All right.
There's no going back.
There is none.
You're right on brand, girl.
Thank you.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.